I didn't have a title. Very seldom do I really work real hard at putting a title on messages. Edward knows that. But sitting in my study this morning, it just seemed to slowly come to me as I looked at my notes and was reviewing last night's program. Have you seen Jesus lately? Have you seen Jesus lately? H.T. Edwards says, "Every man's course is shaped by the view that he forms of the supreme ruler." Every man's course is shaped by the view that he forms of the supreme ruler. There's a lot of truth in that statement. Over in the book of Isaiah chapter 6, we have a story unfold to us about a great man named Isaiah who had a personal encounter with the presence of God. It's a marvelous story. I don't know what it does for you, but it makes me hungry to have that same type of experience over and over again, to be able to feel and to see and to sense the presence of that supreme ruler. Isaiah, in that sixth verse, though, it tells us that there were some things going on, or in verse number 5, actually. "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." I know that sometimes we may think in our mind that Isaiah must have recognized right there how sinful he was, how much of a sinner he was. But I don't really quite believe it that way. I believe that what was taking place here was a personal encounter with a holy God, and in that encounter with a holy God, it made him feel all the more his humanity and his inadequacy to stand in such a presence. You see, when we are in the presence of Jesus Christ, things happen, things change. We have a different and develop a different thinking pattern, and we dwell on different things in our mind. We really have a change of belief when we are in His presence. You see, Scripture tells us in pretty much no uncertain terms the direction that man goes of his own natural course. Isaiah also tells us in the 53rd chapter, he said, "All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way." I could sum that verse up in 3 words. And it depicts the course of humanity naturally, prone to error. That's what Isaiah 53 and 6 tells us. Prone to error. You say, well, how can you be so hard on humanity there? Well, if you go to the book of Judges, chapter 21, verse 25, it says something very similar to that. Different words, different context, but still, it's the same thing. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Genesis chapter 3, going way back here into the very beginning of the Scriptures, so the beginning of time. Genesis chapter 3. You know what takes place in Genesis chapter 3. The creation has been concluded. It's finished. The day of rest has been established. And now life is beginning, has begun. We don't know how much time has elapsed from that day, that first Sabbath day, until now, but some time had elapsed. Adam and Eve were in the garden enjoying all of its bliss and its grandeur and its blessings. But then sin entered into the world. How could it have happened is beyond my mental grasp. I can't fathom how that could have taken place. But it did. And it wasn't long after sin entered into the garden in that context that they recognized their sin. They recognized that something was different, something was wrong. And it made them feel that they needed some covering. And so Adam made aprons of fig leaves. You read it there. It's found in Genesis chapter 3, verse 7 talks about it. You come on down there to verse number 21, and we find that God, having walked in the cool of the garden, Adam and Eve hid away, and God said, "Adam, where art thou?" And he said, "Well, I'm hiding from you because I realized that I didn't have any clothes on." And God said, "Well, who told you that you didn't have any clothes on?" You know what it was? It was God's presence that had been withdrawn. The robe of light had gone out. And because of all of that, the recognition of their sin, but it also tells me something else in that passage. It tells me that the direction of man is prone to error. Because what Adam designed to be a covering was not adequate in the eyes of God. And so God designed something more. He designed coats. Not aprons, but coats. Every man's course is shaped by the view that he forms of the supreme ruler. Now, if we jump over to chapter 6 in the book of Genesis. Genesis 6 isn't very far away from Genesis 2, the conclusion of creation, is it? How much time can possibly go by in just three chapters? Chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5. How much time can possibly go by? Anybody want to take a guess how many years had transpired between the end of chapter 2 and the beginning of chapter 6? Somebody give me a wild guess. Or maybe someone's figured it up before and you have it written down there. 1,556 years. If you want to do something interesting sometime, take chapter number 5 and lay it out on a timeline. All of those names and numbers that go in there, it's an incredible thing to do there in chapter number 5. See that whole layout from Adam up until Noah. You know what took place at Noah's time here in chapter 6? We think the world in which we live is pretty bad. We think the world in which we live, that sin is really, really rampant. It's running haywire. Sin is horrible in our day. When you get out there in the midst of the world and you see things, you hear things, and it's a horrible situation. The Albrights experienced a measure of that horribleness on a trip to Indianapolis in the buses on Friday. Now, how in the world can stuff like this take place with a young person? A teenager already going so quickly down the wrong road. Oh yeah, that happens in the big inner city schools. And whoa, it's happened at Shoals. You know, we live in a horrible world. Just a terrible situation in which we live. I wonder how bad it was in the days of Noah. Verse number 5 of Genesis 6 says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." I don't know how you want to interpret that verse, but it interprets to me that there was not a thing of good even in the minds of these people. It was evil continually. It was horrible. There wasn't even a time set aside at Christmas to have goodwill towards one another. You know that goodwill we have at Christmas where we honk the horn because someone took our place in the parking lot at Walmart. Cut us off as we were leaving. Jumped in front of you in the line to grab the limited supply of goods that were on major discounted prices. You know, we have awesome goodwill at Christmas time. They didn't even have that goodwill at Christmas back then. It was evil continually. It was a bad day. It was so bad that it tells us in the next few verses there that God said the end of all flesh is come. It repented him. He repented that he ever made man because of sin. The end of all flesh is come. I'm cutting it off. So, preacher, where are you going with this? Have you seen Jesus lately? You see, it's not our opinions or our feelings or even our interpretations that matter. You and I must strive to adhere to God's opinions and God's feelings and God's interpretations. You see, God has given us guidelines. God has given us guidelines for who we are, how we are, and what we say and what we do, and even how we dress. Yes, He does. As a matter of fact, He doesn't just limit it to those items, but He also gives us guidelines on our entertainment. And He gives us guidelines on how we conduct ourselves and what we do with ourselves on the Lord's Day. And He also gives us guidelines on what we do and how we conduct ourselves in marriage. Now, all those things are a part of our basic secular lives. We are in this world, but not of it. But you know, He also gives us some pretty detailed guidelines about our religious beliefs. Our gods. You say, oh, wait a minute, preacher, you're talking to the choir this morning. We all believe in the one true God. That is true. We believe in Him, but have we believed from our heart to where we accept Him as the supreme God or the supreme ruler? We have opposed in some situations the idea of lordship salvation. Because of the direction that some of that has taken. But in all reality, He is, and it ought to be, a lordship salvation. That when we come to Him, we give Him our lives, and our ideals change, and our determinations change, and our directions change. I think my wife was reading the other day, yesterday or the day before, I don't remember. Might have been Friday when we were going down to Jasper. She was reading something and she said somebody was speaking to a group of people and said, now that I am the coach of this team, we're going to turn it around 360 degrees. Wow. You know what 360 degrees though, some of you blondes here. That's going the same direction. What he meant to say was, we're going to turn it around 180 degrees. We're going to go in a different direction. Instead of losing, we're going to win. See, when we come to Christ, we go 180 degrees difference. At least that's what we should do. That's not what a lot of people do because it's seen in their lives that God is only the God in the midst of their troubles. They want to go to Him for help in the midst of their problems. Rather than living on a consistent basis His will in their lives. Andrew Bonar said that, well, let me just give this quote to you. He said it this way. He said, it is not the sight of our sinful heart that humbles us. Well, that might be a little strange. It is not the sight of our sinful heart that humbles us. It is a sight of Jesus Christ. I am undone because mine eyes have seen the King. How long has it been since we've seen Jesus? How long has it been since we've been in His presence to have His presence have a bearing upon the decisions of our lives, the way we live, and how we conduct ourselves in everything that I've already mentioned as a part of our life? You see, when we have Him as the foremost of our direction and the foremost of our picture, it changes the outlay in which we are living. No, the world around us is still wicked and still evil continually, it seems, in our mind and in our eyes. But when we have a picture, a fresh new picture of Jesus Christ, when we have His presence, though the baby doll was not in the cradle, in the manger, when we have His presence, the world is different around us. You see, our sinful heart doesn't look so bad through our eyes, looking through our glasses. Because everyone did that which was right in their own eyes. That wasn't just Israel's commentary back in the day of the judges. That is the human commentary down through the ages, even now to the last month of 2008. Why is that? Because all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But what about the picture of Christ? Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. John chapter 1 and verse 29 and verse 36, John the Baptist, as he is the forerunner of the Christ, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Whether we want to admit it or not, our mind and our intuition is faulty. I know that's hard for some of us to take, especially some of us who try to deal with logic, as was depicted last night as well. We want to have it all written out in black and white, and it has to be proven through the sciences. But our intuition, our thinking, because of sin, is faulty. We are prone to error. If we could get that through our head, we would have much less trouble in our church world today with, could I say, differences of opinion? You know, there's so many issues that come up as issues when in reality they ought not be issue at all, because God has given us straightforward talk. If we get the picture of Jesus back in our life, back in our mind, back within our eyesight, then the changes that would take place would be visible to those around us. We have a tendency to see things only when we see things, we see them in error. But put your eyes on Christ. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Last Sunday morning, we reviewed and went over it. Maybe with a little bit of repetition, that there's one way to heaven through Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ. You say, well, what are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about something that's very simple. We must be born again. Behold the Lamb of God. Have you seen Jesus lately? We must be born again. We must be made a new creature in Christ Jesus. And when we're a new creature in Christ Jesus, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And within that, old and new, we have a change. It's not necessarily a change in our mind's way of thinking, but it's a change in who we listen to. Do we listen to our opinions and what we believe, or do we listen to what God tells us very clearly in His Word? I can't say it often enough because it is such a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God, and there's nothing more that's going to make God angry than the deceptive powers of Satan over the lives of His people. And deception is just that. Thinking we're right when we're wrong. Be born again. Be made a new creature in Christ Jesus. And then, it's that daily walk. Walk in the light as He is in the light. You see, it's not of my own. It's not of my own choosing. It's not of my own will. But it's walking in His ways. In His rays. Being faithful to His leading. It's Christmas season. One more Sunday before Christmas Day dawns. What an exciting day. What an exciting time that is. But how long has it been since you've seen Jesus? Have you seen Jesus lately? You see, when we see Him, once again, it changes the world in which we live. It changes us. Woe is me, for I am undone. Man of unclean lips, dwelling among a people that are unclean. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Have you seen Jesus lately? Let's stand together this morning.